Boy, it's a blessing. The Christmas season is upon us. Before we know it, Christmas will be here. Can you believe it? Already this year has gone by so fast. But I love it. It's nice. Some people went to the Christmas parade last week. Who went to the Christmas parade last week in Emporia? Yeah, it was a little cold, but I know some people were out there. That's good. It's nice to hear Christmas music all over town, isn't it? Just kind of warms your soul. I like that. I like singing the Christmas hymns in church about our Savior's birth. I think that's a beautiful thing. And today marks the beginning of Advent. People are like, Advent? What is Advent? Well, Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, which translates to the coming or the arrival of Christ. And so as Christians, this is the period of time where we get ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And so it's an exciting time for us for sure. If you have your Bibles today, please open up to Luke chapter 1. Today we'll be in Luke chapter 1, looking at verses 26 through 38. Keep your Bibles open because I'll be referencing it quite a bit today in Luke, and then we'll go back and look at some in Matthew a little bit later. But Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. Here's what God's word has to say. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting was this. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary, she said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a cousin in her old age, and is now in her sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, God, for the Christmas season, Lord. I thank you for the way that hearts change and they're open. People are kind to one another, Lord. I thank you, God, for the wonderful smells around the Christmas season, Lord, from the baked goods to the cinnamon to the frankincense and myrrh that we may smell. God, I thank you, Lord, for the people, Lord, just coming in droves, Lord, to celebrate this day as Christmas comes near, Lord. God, I pray that as people are preparing for this day, Lord, as they prepare decorations in their homes and they prepare Christmas trees and maybe gifts or cards for people, Lord, God, that they won't miss out on what the real meaning of Christmas is, Lord, which is to be thankful for the day that you came and to celebrate your birth. Lord, I know that, God, as exciting as a time that this is, Lord, I know that it's also a hard time for many. Many have lost loved ones. Many are dealing with trials and tribulations in their life. Many are struggling. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that you would lift them up in a way that they can know it's only you, Lord. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you speak through me today, Lord. God, that you use me as your instrument, Lord. God, for I am yours and you are mine, and I thank you for that, Lord. God, I pray that you would bless us all in a mighty way today and help us to look at the scripture with new eyes and to be able to reveal new truths to us that maybe we never saw before. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us in the way only you can. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So as you know, many times this week, I was in Memphis, Tennessee, the land of barbecue. And let me tell you, I had barbecue. I ate lots of barbecue. I did not have one shirt that wasn't stained by the time I didn't come home. You know, Memphis is the land of barbecue, so I had to go eat ribs at every place I could. And praise the Lord, Moby was paying for it, so it was even better. And so I think I'm ripped out for a while. But it was really good. I had a great time. But that wasn't the only thing that had in Memphis. When I was getting ready to go there, I was kind of distraught. As many of you know, I thought, oh, I don't want to travel. I don't really want to be away from the church and my family. But God opened up a whole new ministry while I was in Memphis. It was amazing that when you're open to God's calling in your life, all the different things that can come about you. And I'll tell you that this was no trip that was short of any amazing things. And this trip, while I was planning and scheduling and getting ready for work, God had a ministry involved. He had ministry ideas. And let me just tell you a couple of the neat things that happened while I was there. Well, the first ministry opportunity I had, I ran into a lady at the security desk. That's the place that I needed to get through to be able to move forward. Her name was Pamela. And I talked to her a little bit. Hey, Pamela, how are you doing today? She's like, oh, I'm doing good. You know, she held me up there for about 45 minutes until that person could come and get me out so that I could get into the building. And so I was chatting with her. I said, well, how did you move here? She said, well, I had a loved one pass away. And it was really hard on me. She said, but you know what? I have an aunt and an uncle here in Memphis that I haven't seen since I was a little kid. And I hope maybe I can go see them. Maybe even have Christmas with them. Wouldn't that be great? And I said, sure you could. I believe you could. And I said, have you called them yet? How long have you been here? She said, oh, just a few short months. I said, well, let's call them up. She said, right now? Sure, yeah, I'll call them. Let me have the phone. We'll get a hold of these guys. We'll get you synced up. Well, I wouldn't even know what to say. That's why I'm good. It doesn't matter. I'll call them and talk to them, you know. And so she laughed, thought I was a little crazy. But nevertheless, she laughed and we got to talk a little bit. And by the time we were done, it was neat. She and I both had realized how amazing it was that God provided all our needs. She needed a little more oomph to make that phone call. And I guess God gave me a little more boldness to be able to share my faith with her. And so what a blessing it was. But that was just the beginning. Then it continued on. I met this Christian man who visited Jerusalem.
Oh, wow.
And so I was talking to her, maybe I was singing a hymn or something. And he comes by and he just kind of looks at me and I said, oh, I love the Christmas spirit or whatever. And he said, boy, me too. He said, man, I was blessed to be able to go to Jerusalem. I stopped in my tracks. You went to Jerusalem? He said, oh, yeah, let me tell you about it. So we sat and we talked and talked and talked. And it was absolutely amazing. And so he said, your whole life will change the way you study the Bible when you're able to walk in the same places that our Lord and Savior walked. He said, it's just an amazing experience. I think every Christian should be able to have it. And I said, well, how did you end up here doing what you're doing now? He said, well, I used to be a private investigator. And I was all over the world and stuff, but I needed to settle down. You know, I wanted to have a family. And well, I've been raising the son, and he started sharing with me some things about his son. And by the time we were done, we were talking about how God is always there for us. And isn't it strange how he puts different people in your path to encourage you when you need it? And then I met a homeless person. And so I was coming out of one of those fancy rib places. And boy, I was full. I only ate about four of them. So I think I had about six or eight left. And I had it in my bag, and I'm walking back to the hotel, and here comes this man. He's cold, and he says, boy, sir, do you just have 75 cents so that I can get a cup of soup? I said, well, I don't have 75 cents, but I have a little better than that. I have some ribs. He said, you have some ribs? I said, yeah, you want to sit down and eat some ribs? Let's eat some ribs. And so we sat down on this curb outside, and I opened up that thing, and I'm giving him a rib. I'm eating a rib. We're tearing into it. I said, you know, it really is a blessing how the Lord works in our life. And he said, yeah, I never really thought about it. I said, yeah, you wanted soup and I needed to get rid of some ribs. Without you, I don't know what I would have done with these ribs. And he started laughing and laughing. He said, Jesus gives us more than we can need all the time, doesn't he?
God's
I said,
good.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. Amen. And so then I had a neighbor at the company I was working with. She worked in the cube next to me. Her name was Malaya. And so she had this scripture. I didn't know who it was at the time, but she had a scripture written on her board. Remind me of what Lorene used to do when she worked out of the security place at Tyson. And I saw that there and I thought, wow, that's pretty neat. And so the lady came in and I said, that's awesome. At your company, you guys can put scripture on the board. She says, yeah, I do it for two reasons. One, I put it up there all week so that I could try to memorize it. And the second reason is maybe I can encourage someone else. And so through our talks throughout the week, we were talking with each other about just how you could change the world by doing kind deeds to people, by having a listening ear, and just trying to show them the same love that Christ showed to us. So then when you thought it might all be over, I ran into another guy that I've talked to on the phone for about 5 or 6 years, but never met in person. His name was Odie. He was in the IT team. And so we went out to lunch together and caught up. And he shared with me how God was using him in his life to be a scout leader. And how he had a couple of kids that just turned Eagle Scouts. And he was so excited and sharing with me all about that. telling me about his family, and I was sharing with him about the things that were taking place at our church, and it was just awesome, an awesome time of encouraging ministry, because just like Scripture says in Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, let one man sharpen another. And so what an encouraging trip. You see, I was out there to get ready to do work, but the Lord had a different plan for me. So not only was it successful from a work standpoint, but it was amazing from a ministry point. The mission field isn't always overseas, folks. Sometimes it's right in our own backyard. And as I was able to share with these people, I was lifting their spirits up and I felt great. Their spirits were lifted up. They felt great. We started encouraging each other, comforting each other. And when we walked away, they were originally people that I didn't know from Adam. And by the time we left, they were brothers and sisters in Christ. What an amazing experience. And so today I want to talk to you about comfort, about what words of comfort can do in people's lives. And what's the first thing when you think about comfort, some people, what is the first thing that comes into your mind when you think of the word comfort?
A comfy couch.
Comfy couch, yeah, there you go.
A hug,
that's good. Yeah. For some people, it may be food, right? For some people, you might think of comfort food, especially around this time. You remember your mom or your dad cooking some nice food, the house smelling like baked goods. That's a great time. For others, comfort food might be a big chicken fried steak smothered in gravy. Or some biscuits and gravy. Who likes biscuits and gravy? Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's some good comfort food, you know. But for other people, comfort might be a warm blanket on a cold day. A warm blanket. That'll make somebody happy, right? Comfortable. Like Angela said, a hug from somebody that you love. And some tender arms wrapped around you. You know, the neat thing about comfort is it comes from all kinds of sources. I remember when Shannon and I, we were pregnant with Josh, and we were just struggling. We were like, well, we already started raising a girl, but what about a boy? How are we going to do this? And so we started making up problems that didn't even exist. You know, getting ourselves all worried and spun up, kind of like Ariel and Anthony are doing right now. You know, getting all worried about that. And then we had this dog named Bear. He was a Malamute. And he felt that uncomfortableness, I guess, or that worry in our heart. He came over and he licked Shannon's belly. And he came and put his head underneath her arm like, go ahead, pet me. It's going to be okay. So comfort comes to us in all kinds of different ways. But what I want to talk to you today about is the way that you can use comfort with words to be able to change people's lives. Because in the scripture we read today, many times we look at that as, oh, this is the birth story of Jesus, which it is. But there's also some comforting and words in there that took place. And without that comfort, we may have not had the story that we had. And so I want to look back at the scripture today. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Let's look at this. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting might this be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. What an exciting story, but also frightening. Okay, can you imagine an angel? Has anybody ever had an angel come and talk to them before? I mean, hey, I'm not saying it's impossible. Has that ever happened before? No, has anybody ever had a dream where the Lord has spoken to him in a dream before? Yeah. Has anybody ever heard the Lord's voice audibly before? Yeah, in your mind? For sure, definitely. And so here we're in this situation where this is only one of two named angels in the Bible, by the way. Gabriel and the other is Michael. Not the one sitting there with us, but different Michael. But yes, and so only two named. And so Gabriel comes and he talks to her. And this must have been frightening. Because I can imagine as being a young woman, betrothed or promised to be married. And then you get approached by an angel with a message from the Lord. Look at me at verse 28. It says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And then I like verse 29. So after this angel comes to her, Mary does this. It says, Mary was greatly troubled. Not just a little troubled, greatly troubled. And she didn't even hear the message he came to bring yet. So what would have happened if Mary, saw that angel? She was greatly troubled, and she took off running. She could have done that. You know, what would happen if Mary would have saw that angel and were like, no, he comes and the Lord is highly favored with you and blah, blah, blah. She's like, no way, I'm out of here. See you later. She could have done that, right? What would happen if she said, no, I'm sorry. You have the wrong person. Or what if Mary just refused to listen? What if she just acted like a little child? She was a young woman, after all. What if that angel came to her, Gabriel started talking to her, and she's like, la, 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 and she didn't want to hear anybody. She could have done all that. She had free will. She could have refused him. She could have ran. But then in verse 30, before she has that opportunity, look what happens. The angel Gabriel, he comforts Mary. Gabriel says to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. So Gabriel comforts her. He reassures her. He tells her again that, look, you found favor with God. So she's feeling a little more comfortable maybe now, right? So she continues to listen because Gabriel comforted her. And for me, I think, in my life, how many times do we shut people off or shut things off because we're scared instead of walking through? We see something happen. Somebody offers us this opportunity. Oh, no, I'm not good enough. Oh, I couldn't do that. Mary didn't do that. After receiving that comfort, she stopped and she was able to be able to listen to him. Because I believe comfort can change lives. I believe that when you comfort someone, when you talk to them about things, that those things can change lives. So as Gabriel reassures her, as he comforts her, as he tells her, don't be afraid. You're highly favored with God. Instead of being afraid, instead of running away, she stops and she listens because he comforted her. Comforting words change our life too. If you think about it, when you're a little kid, how many times did you fall and scrape your knee or your elbows? All the time, right? All the time that stuff happened. And didn't you have parents or relatives or family members or somebody that came up to you and said, don't worry, it's going to be okay. And so what'd you do? You got up and ran again. That's a funny thing about kids. When they fall down and they get hurt, they could be gushing blood everywhere. And the first thing they do is look at mom or dad like, is it okay? Am I going to die? And if mom and dad go, you're fine, get up. There could be blood squirting out of there like a fountain. And they'll stand up and be like, okay, everything's all right, I guess. But if the mom or dad looks at them like, ah! Then the kid's like, ah! And then you have a big nightmare on your hands, don't you? Comforting words change lives. Do you remember trying to ride one of those two-wheel bikes? Everybody know how to drive a two-wheel bike, by the way? That's not a common skill anymore. I'm serious. Like, some people don't know how to ride two-wheel bikes. Not picking on anybody, but they make three-wheel bikes for you if you like riding those instead. But the two-wheel bikes, those are dangerous. You get on those two-wheel bikes and you fall down and you get hurt. I don't really know of a person, maybe there's somebody here today, but I don't know of a person who started out on a two-wheel bike and never fell down. You always crash into something.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the first time we got Faith. She was a good two-wheel bike rider. And so we put her on a dirt bike. You know what the first thing she did? Crashed right into a concrete wall. Right into the concrete wall. And you know what I said as a dad? Not, are you okay? Are you fine? Man, we just spent $2,500 on this thing.
There we go.
And then I got that look from Shannon. But you can see your face okay today. Anyway, nevertheless, moving on. Do you remember a time where maybe you had a friend that kind of encouraged you? You know, we all had tough times in school. We've all had tough times in relationships, tough times with families. And it's those comforting words, those people just listening to us that help us get over the hump. And I believe that's what was going on here with Mary too. I believe she was terrified. It says that she wasn't just a little scared. I mean, she was really afraid of what was going on. But because Gabriel encouraged her again and said, it's okay, don't worry, don't be afraid, he was able to get her over that hump. And look what happened in verse 31. Gabriel tells her, you'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, for he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. She's a young woman. That's a lot of stuff to take in. I mean, how would you act if you received that kind of news? Think about it from Mary's perspective. That would have been tough. When Shannon and I first found out we were pregnant with Faith, we walked around and walked around and walked around this neighborhood, and this police officer came up to us, and he looked at us and said, "What are you folks doing out past curfew?" I said, "First off, we're old enough to be out. Second off, we just found out we're pregnant." "Oh, carry on. Have a good night. See you later." He didn't want any part of that. We're trying to figure out what's going on. How are we going to deal with this? And so you're Mary. You've been a good person. You've done things right. And all of a sudden you find out, what? I'm going to be pregnant with our Lord and Savior. Like, how do you even comprehend that?
I don't know.
Seriously, I don't know how I'd react with those news. So what does Mary do? She asks in verse 34 a logical question. Well, how will this be since I'm a virgin? And so the angel continues to comfort her. Gabriel tells Mary, hey, you're going to be pregnant at the same time as your cousin Elizabeth. And at verse 35, Gabriel answers Mary's question. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive in her 6th month, for no word from God will ever fail. You know the amazing thing about God is He gives you what you need right when you need it. Not necessarily early, never late, but right when you need it. You know, He gave Stacy and Mike a way to have electricity right before the cold hit. He gave Bill a job right before his unemployment ran out. He saved me. I was going through a point in my life where I thought, maybe I'm not supposed to be a pastor. Maybe I'm not supposed to be preaching the Word of God. Lord, if you really want me to be here, then I want to see somebody accept you as their Lord and Savior. He answered that prayer on that day. God gives you exactly what you need when you need it. And I just praise God for that. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that I don't know what's going on in your life, what you might be struggling with, but let me tell you, God will do what you need exactly when you need it. He'll send a person with a comforting word when you need it. He'll put that song on the radio that has the perfect words for you, maybe from Lauren Daigle, right when you need it, it'll be there for you. He'll have a friend come to you, send you a text, or give you a card, or do something, come visit you right when you need it, because that's just how the Lord works. He is absolutely amazing. And that's what He did to Mary here today too. When Gabriel appeared to Mary, according to verse 29, says she was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what his greeting might be. She didn't even hear the rest of the message. She was just greatly troubled at him showing up. But after God used Gabriel to comfort her, look at how she responded in verse 38. It says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. You see, great comfort from one another can change people's lives. You know, we have to stop being so worried about what's on our agenda and open ourselves up to be able to comfort one another the same way that Gabriel comforted Mary. And while that's a beautiful story, it doesn't stop there. The comfort doesn't stop there. Because guess what? Mary was betrothed to some guy, right? I mean, it's great that she found favor with God. It's great that she's going to bear our Lord and Savior. What great news and honor that is. But she's engaged to Joseph. How's Joseph going to take this news? How excited is Joseph going to be? How is he going to handle it? I'm glad everything's settled perfect with Mary and she's okay to move forward. What about Joseph? They're betrothed. They're supposed to be engaged. They're supposed to get married. How is he going to handle it? I mean, we got Alyssa and Jordan are engaged back there. If Alyssa comes home and says, hey, Jordan, got great news for you. After I got off Walmart today, had this visit with an angel, and I'm pregnant. It'd be fantastic, right, Kyle? You know what I'm talking about. Faith would be like, well, I was up at the medical clinic. I was doing some testing for some patient, and I turned out pregnant. How about that? What do you think, Kyle? You excited? I mean, this would be a tough situation. And so the greatest thing is if you turn back a couple of pages, if you turn back from Luke and you look in Matthew chapter 1, go ahead and turn there. I want you to see this with your own eyes, how awesome your Lord and Savior is. Because before all this was happening, He also was ready to comfort Joseph. Because let me tell you, I don't know how you feel, Jordan or Kyle, but I need some comfort. If my wife came home and she said I was pregnant and I wasn't involved, I'd need a little comfort there. And so that's what God does. Listen, look at this. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. See what I mean? Joseph needed some comfort. He was about to divorce her. He was like, see you later, woman. This didn't happen in my house. He was about to separate from her, break off the engagement. That's where he stood. But God knew he needed some comfort. So the Lord, what did he do? He sent Joseph an angel too. He sent Joseph an angel to comfort him in this dream. Look at verse 20. It says, but after he had considered this, after Joseph considered divorcing her, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, Joseph, in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. How awesome is God? He knew that Joseph was going to need comfort. He knew that Mary was going to need comfort. He knew this was going to be a tough road. I mean, if the Lord wouldn't have sent an angel to go to Joseph in that dream, Joseph would have divorced her. I mean, that's what the scripture says. He would have divorced Mary. Then where would we be today? Church, God knew what was needed right exactly when it was needed for Mary and Joseph. And he knows right exactly what is needed in your life too. Comforting words can change lives. So as I close the message today, I wonder, how would your life change? How would my life change if we just made it a purpose every single day to reach out and comfort at least one person? Every single day, how would your life change? How would my life change if we just made it our purpose every single day to reach out and comfort one person? Church, I believe God could use us to change the entire world. I'll tell you, I didn't know those people in Memphis that I shared Christ with. They didn't know me. But by the end of it, God used us to encourage one another, to strengthen each other, and to comfort each other. Folks, I believe my life was changed and their life was changed because of the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did through us. Just think with me a moment. Just fantasize with me. How do we stop violence in our world? You turn on the TV, you see shootings, all kinds of crazy stuff. How do we stop that? How do we stop that violence in our world? How do we stop it in our community? How do we stop it in our workplace? How do you stop the violence that's going on in your own home right now? Could it be that God gave us the answer in the Christmas story and we just never saw it? Could it be the way we change the world is something he already revealed to us in the scripture? Could it be really that all we have to do is reach out to another person, comfort them, and show them we care about them? Could that really change the world? I believe it could. I believe God has given us the answer right here in the Christmas story, right under our noses. How many of you have read this 100 times, but you never saw the fact of how God comforted them when they were scared? Or God provided encouragement to them when they were getting ready to go to a divorce? I mean, you may have never seen that before. I surely didn't see it. And it all began for me when I met a nice security guard named Pamela, who had a broken heart and wanted to be reunited with her family and her friends in Memphis, Tennessee. I believe a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, a moment of your time could change somebody's life forever. Forever! So who's God already put in your path? Who's God already put in your path that maybe needs a word of encouragement? Who is God putting in your path that he wants you to encourage or lift up today? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm the person that needs the word of encouragement. I'm kind of downcast. I'm going through a rough time. I need a word of encouragement from somebody or maybe from the Lord.
How long has it been since you just trusted Jesus and laid in his arms? You could have that opportunity today. I like what 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4 says. It said, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the same comfort that we were comforted once by God." I believe sharing a comforting word with somebody can change their life. I believe sharing a comforting word with somebody can make a difference. Bill could testify. There was a man who was going to commit suicide that Bill knew. He shared with him. It changed the man's life. He didn't even know. He was just trying to be a Christian. We can all do that. We can all be advocates of change. People's hearts are open. This is a beautiful season. And so let's think back at the Christmas story. Gabriel comforted Mary. This angel comforted Joseph. And because of those two things, we have the salvation story today. Who can we comfort to be able to change their lives? Let's think about it as we stand and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, God. I thank you for the comfort that you give us, God. That we can go to you, that we can pray to you, God, that we don't have to be fearful of anything, Lord, but we can just come forward and say, God, I need some help. Or, Lord, I've made some mistakes in my life, but God, I want to be forgiven for those sins. Lord, help me to change my life. I'm thankful that, God, that when we're struggling and we're coming down to the wire and we're getting nervous and worried, you send somebody to encourage us and tell us it's going to be okay. Or you pop up that scripture in our head from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make your pathway straight." Lord, I thank you, God, for the way that you move in our life today, Lord. Your comforting words have changed our lives here today. Lord, help us to be a comfort and an encouragement to somebody else in our family, in our workplace, somewhere that we go today, Lord. Help us not just to be focused on what our needs are, but to look at others, Lord. There's others that are hurting out there too, Lord. God, help us to comfort them, just like you have comforted us, Lord. If there's anybody here that needs to come and pray for any reason or just wants to lift up a praise to the Lord, just say, "Thank you, God, for coming and taking care of me when I needed it." You're welcome to come and pray at this time.